This is side two of session number 54, recorded on February 11, 2008. And I want to show the tactile interplay on the chart by showing, reviewing the fact that Kennedy is the psychological, cultural, sociological mask lag image for the general populace, which is not going to be aware of the ALP hidden effects of the invisible new things that are being made in labs.
Or the HCE lockdown, for that matter.
Or the HCE lockdown. So that what you have is the Kennedy image is usually a distillation of what goes on between Shem and Sean. So the automobile quark tune interplay is distillated, crystallized in Kennedy.
Yeah, but how would that be perceived by the public, because the quark tune is still a pretty esoteric idea?
Well, they don't see it as a quark tune. They don't know that's what they are. They're looking at it as a cartoon, Disney thing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, California is a big factor in the Kennedy image. He's hanging out with the Rat Pack in Hollywood, which is associated with cars, and the head of the Beatnik. It's the peak of the Beatnik era going on the road, but the people who are not going to drop out and be Beatniks, but are still going to use the automobile. The automobile is the common ground between the Beatnik and the swingers,
mm-hmm.
the hip, well-off swingers. So Kennedy, the Camelot glorious image of the American dream, which is based on kinetic space and the automobile in a lot of ways, and the photograph, you have Disney creating the theme park, Disneyland, and then you have the automobile, all this California reality, and almost like Kennedy has a surfer image. All of that is distilled in the Kennedy image, and he's working on bringing in world peace, which is actually locking down the other half of the world government, which already happened in 1945, to the degree that the HCE levels can get peace. They stopped World War II, which was a massive war. So what you have is Kennedy represents the interplay of the secondary ground, automobile and the cartoon, and the hidden ground, computer and atom bomb, Kennedy's not even an expression of. But what is expressing the computer and atom bomb effect, which is a deeper ground, you could say the primary ground, is the thinkings and think tanks and policies being worked out by the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, what would later be the Trilateral Commission, and the secret intelligence factions. They're working out the effects of their historical bureaucratic ground in relation to the new hidden effects of the computer and the atom bomb. And they aren't going to be too good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody can see the total effects of this situation.
And even though you have computer and atom bomb linked together in the same little box, that doesn't mean they're producing the same effect. They're actually producing unique effects and may not even have any overlapping effects.
It's almost like, even though the atom bomb is information, in a sense, it's the new university, McLuhan used to call it. It represents the distillation of the most advanced knowledge that would come out of universities. That's crystallized in the atom bomb. But it's more like a hardware thing, and the computer is more like a software bomb. So you get hardware and software interplaying there, and then the satellite and laser beam.
One's blowing up the planet side trip, and the other's blowing up the inner trip.
Yeah, and the industrial structure, the computer is. And then mm-hmm. the satellite is like a hardware. McLuhan said the airplane and the satellite were outer trip, and the computer and the television were the inner trip. Well, the laser beam is going to create the hologram, so that's part of the inner trip. So you have the inner and the outer expressed here in these two phases, computer and atom bomb, satellite and laser beam. And then they merge into holopathic cliche probes, which really refers to the hologramic effect of both the hardware and the software in a tactile interplay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are all the environments are always in a tactile, clumsy interplay. That's what the League of Nations was trying to organize, and then the United Nations was trying to improve the way they coordinate these different media structures. But it was always discussed in anthropomorphic, tribal, racial terms, or rich and poor terms, or starving and well-fed. These are the nomenclature of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
The kids used to go around raising money for the UNICEF.
I mean, still the most important issues on the planet, regardless of technology or no technology.
Yeah, they're important issues, but you can't get to solving them unless you understand what's altering the perception of the important issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the new media. They confuse the...
And the environments needed to support the new media.
Yeah. So if you have, for example, today, the famous one is that cell phones require these slave societies in the Congo that do the mining for the mineral that goes into making the cell phone. So as long as we need cell phones and we're addicted to it, and you can't just say addicted because we love to explore new environments, and it's the latest one, so we want it. We want to swim in it. The effects in Africa is to create a slave society there.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So that's an immediate effect of a side effect on the old chemical body.
Yeah, well, the whole thing in the 80s with the international banking community making big loans to third world countries and then taking their resources when they couldn't pay them back.
Yeah. They made the loans, you could say, in the 70s and then took them back in the 80s. And the IMF just carried on the bankrupt Rockefeller's loan mechanism. But it started in the 60s, maybe even in the 50s, in the post-World War II spreading of the global welfare state through American money.
Mm-hmm.
American aid. So,
I mean, when you think about it, there's no reason why. I mean, I remember in the 70s, when late 70s, I guess, when Werner Erhard started the Hunger Project and was working with Buckminster Fuller to try to promote awareness that we have the technology we need to feed everybody on the planet. There's no excuse.
But there is an excuse. That's what McLuhan kept saying, is that the media dynamics alter the age-old concerns of the chemical body so that no one could get organized in such a hyper-decentralized, moving at the speed of light of a computer-speed economy. Nobody could get it. There was no money available for anybody. There was just a transfer of digital data. That was the new currency.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you going to get any cash to send it someplace?
Well, you don't need cash. You just need to take the technology and plant it it's like taking a plant and planting it over there so that you can start a new crop. Just take the technology and plant it over there and let it build itself.
So the Westerner has a sense of individual responsibility, and the individual owner, which is the American dream, you can own your own situation and be autonomous from tribal pressures. That bias threatens the idea of just dumping wealth on a culture. We think, well, they're becoming like us, so they need to develop individual responsibility. We can't dump everything on them or just give it away, and they won't learn the value of work. Now, that doesn't apply too much now, but that applied in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's how the corporate American elite thought.
Yeah.
They wanted to build industrial structures. And then by the 80s, as every culture got a new sense of its own history, then it didn't even want the technology. They considered it imperialistic to dump our modern technology into their situation. And other factions in those countries, maybe the more literate factions, said, hey, we don't want to hear about environmental pollution. We want the technology that you've got. So you can see the whole global dialogue gets totally confused by these different cultural and media interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So everything ends up paralyzed and stalemated. And if you track any of these efforts by the United Nations or humanitarian groups, they have all kinds of problems.
Well, not to mention just purely egotistic reasons. I remember, you know, the media used to bash Werner Erhard like he was some kind of a demon. Well, why would you be considered a demon for wanting to solve the world's hunger problems?
Ah, because the family was threatened by television and satellite speeds, and he apparently did incest or something. And so that's a bigger issue in the close TV image, TV landscape world, than what is the motivations for feeding people who seem to be far away and are far away because they're just chemical bodies. The TV body is what we're involved in, and your image of how you handle your family and social relations is more, way more important than what you want to do with some chemical bodies 10,000 miles away.
Seemed to me the issue seemed to, was presented more on, appeared to me to be more of an issue of jealousy. It's like, hey, we're the media and we're involved with politics, and let the big boys handle these problems. We're not going to let some outsider guy just come and solve these problems and make us feel shameful that we didn't solve them. It seemed to me like it was all about jealousy.
Right, and so that would be the tribal effect, the group mind effect of these modern electronic technologies made the obsolete chemical body individualized by and archetypalized by Werner, made it an interference and an invasion to what they called the big boys was management of huge environments. And obviously no one individual can do that. You have to have corporate teams. So leave it to the corporate teams to do it. But the media cliche would not recognize the problems the corporate guys had because they were obsessed by the satellite and laser beam environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, the decentralizing effects made everybody super proud of their roots all around the world, and that's the beginning of political correctness. So you have to be aware of the sensitivities of all the historical races because their image on TV is way more important than whether they starve or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tower of Babel increases. As these things, as this chart shows you the factors, the constituents of the Tower of Babel. One way to look at this chart we're analyzing is there's the factors that make a Tower of Babel confusion. So, you know, Nixon, his image, you compare it to Kennedy. Obviously, Nixon had a harder image than Kennedy. But Kennedy is a distillation of the Disney and automobile. But when you get to the television and airplane, they're very antithetic technologies. The cartoon, the cartoon and the movie in Hollywood and the car are linked. McLuhan used to say that the automobile is to the movie as the airplane is to TV. So you can get the movie, you can get the car experience by watching movies, and you can get the airplane experience by watching television.
Yeah.
They're actually software and hardware, so they fight within themselves. You have the TV war of the counterculture and Abbie Hoffman and Dick Gregory and Dr. Spock, all these people in the anti-Vietnam War, which is trying to hijack television for those purposes, conflicting with the airplane, Air Force, Navy modality that is the National Defense Program, and Nixon represents that, and they're fighting in Vietnam. So you have a real conflict between hardware and software in the Nixon era. And it's actually so unresolvable that only a mafia guy would take over the forlorn job of president, whereas it wasn't so complicated in the late 50s, early 60s when Kennedy was president. It was a, quote, simpler world, simpler media dynamics.
Yeah.
And you've got the solar government sneaking up on everything. And the solar government, it doesn't mean they're floating around the planet. It means that they're not engaged in national or world bureaucracies, because the world is bigger and tinier than a nation or a world. It's one little lab. The latest lab is the ground for the whole world, whatever that lab is creating.
Why do you choose to call it solar if it's got nothing to do with floating around, orbiting the planet?
To indicate something that goes around the world government. And certainly it's not possible until you have the satellite, because the satellite finishes the extensions of our technology. It's the extension of the planet. And so you think of the satellite as going around the planet, so it's like a solar orbiting operation, and that turns the planet into a theater, and then the old media engage in the content of theater, but the actual control on the HCE level is off the planet. In terms of electric media, makes you discarnate, so that the closest first nature term for something orbiting around the planet or subsuming the planet, I created the term solar.
Mm-hmm.
Because the discarnate state is going around the planet and through the planet.
And even that's inaccurate to say, because it's just permeating everything all the time.
Right.
It's not even
right.
Moving.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so that the words are and the metaphors and the facts are very hard to elaborate if you just limit to the verbal medium, which is, you know, these are verbal categories here.
It's easy for me to see the interplay between the automobile and the movies and how they become content for each other.
But now take television and airplane. With the jet plane of 1960 on, people could, that's global tourism. People could travel all over the world pretty quickly. And television is also taking you all over the world pretty quickly.
Pretty instantaneously.
Yeah, whereas the movie is a more clunky medium. You got to go somewhere. It's not in your home.
Yeah, and that's maybe the relation between the movie and the automobile. They're both transportation. Well, and so is the airplane.
And television is transportation, except the sender, the driver is sent.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is sent back to you. You don't have to go to it. It arrives at you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the television phase and then the computer and atom bomb. And you can see in the satellite and laser beam phase, by that time, television is a figure. But it's a secondary ground because people are still thinking in terms of human beings running the show. And that's what the president represents. A Nixon or a Kennedy or Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the anthropomorphic, as it says. It says anthropomorphic, sociological, psychological mask. It's like showing a human mind, the psychological, and the human community, which is really a computerized statistic, a Nielsen rating. So it's not really community or body, it's sociological. So it's instead of a mind-body situation, it's a collectivity meme-body situation, right? And it's inner, psychological, and it's sociological. So it's an anthropomorphic, sociological, psychological mask, and it's a leg. It's an image that makes people think humans are still there, running the show.
Mm-hmm.
The HCE gangs realize faster and or sooner and eventually what a joke it is to think that they're running anything. So that by the 60s, they know it's a post-information environment in terms of having data that helps you control the society, like it was, as it was important in the 1984 Big Brother world pre-World War II, which was 1934. Back then, what you were and data about your life did something. By the 60s, most people were starting to let their hair down in all kinds of different radical ways, and that they weren't preserving the integrity, the Victorian afterimage, of someone's role in society. People were starting to develop techniques of put-on.
As a matter of fact, I got a copy of that book, 1969, the year that rocked the world, and it was interesting.
Oh, 1968.
1968, yeah. It was interesting how they pointed out that when you got the combination of the video camera plus satellite feed, how the strategy then for the peace movement, and including I'm blanking for a second, but hold on, including Martin Luther King, the strategy was use peace, be peaceful in a way that provokes the other side to violence. Get it on tape. And if you can photograph them beating you up, they'll look like the bad guys. And then you can satellite feed it around the world, and that's how you prop up your side of the game.
Right. Now, because of the satellite environment, which in a sense allowed the individual to hijack media apparatus. If the meaning of the satellite is it makes the older media obsolete and creates a new global theater, then part of the video camera and the satellite feed is that any small group can hijack the Big Brother news network from the 20s to the 60s, can hijack it and create a scene like you just described. McLuhan used to point out that when the Irish or Northern Ireland, when the Protestant Catholics had it out, they wouldn't start their riot until the news cameras showed up. They tell the news cameras they're going to do something, then wait till they showed up, then act it out.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully conscious of the video television landscape. That means it was a rearview mirror. They had no clue that the effects of the satellite would be such, these effects on previous media that the new satellite laser beam environment would have, would frustrate any of their goals of propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's important. I'm glad I brought in the videotape aspect, because that's implied in television, but it's not explicit on your chart.
I have the instant replay in the Thompson quadrant on the tiny note, but in here, television as content includes the video camera,
mm-hmm.
because it's after the computer, and that's the beginning of digitizing, even though the first video camera is probably analog, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to shrink the TV landscape. So, yeah.
The TV landscape.
Yeah, the TV landscape of the 50s that three major news networks and the CIA managed, you couldn't. Once television is obsolete, like the car is obsolete, therefore people think that that we're having an oil crisis. That was McLuhan's quote. Well, the television is obsolete when the satellite and computer go around it. So people think we got a television crisis, and people start hijacking the medium for their news agendas, for their chemical body issues of peace or civil rights or pollution, all these things. So
yeah.
Television becomes a figure, it's a secondary ground for the hijackers, and the hijackers are in the airplanes. So you got hardware hijackers over in Vietnam and software hijackers like Martin Luther King and the radicals or the anti-war activists.
Mm-hmm.
They are picking up the sensibility of the satellite, which means you float around all the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now these guys, Martin Luther King, can hijack the news and make it an artificial effect.
Right.
They didn't know that the CIA can also take advantage of the latest satellite effects and start computerizing the police departments and bringing in COINTEL and COINTELPRO and start messing with Martin Luther King and the other activists with fake letters.
Mm-hmm.
They could manipulate the public, too.
Yeah.
Just as much as... So that everybody sees this new video technology and they see how they can use it, but they forget that their enemies, can use it, too, against you.
Yeah.
Because COINTELPRO was using fake information, fake letters, fake wiretappings to influence the public. Everybody was... like bombing, like an airplane in Laos, everybody was bombing the TV studio with their propaganda,
mm.
all the different conflicting factions.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the global theater, brought in by the satellite laser beam, would create a world that had nothing to do with chemical body issues.
Well, it always has something to do with chemical body issues. It always comes back to that.
No, that's the point. The chemical body issues can't be resolved. And once you have the satellite environment, most people would agree the world has become more violent, more impersonal, more indecent, and more starving people over the last 30 years. The hidden ground of that is the satellite and then digitization.
The hidden ground might also be population explosion. There's more people to be violent and hungry and so
right.
on.
Right. Now, you remember what population explosion, what McLuhan said about that, how that confused the issues, because everybody was in the claustrophobic echo chamber of television. More and more people saw images coming in their home, so they would subliminally think that the population was increasing. Now, in chemical body terms, it was, but the panic over that, and people start worrying about the population explosion, was caused by television, layering more people in your face.
Yeah.
So that's an example of a medium confusing the eternal issues.
Yeah.
The eternal issue being, obviously there's more and more people coming.
Yeah. I remember the first time I got on an airplane and flew over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of unpopulated regions, and I never had that concept before from watching television.
Yeah, you thought it was all houses and suburbs and cities and people, and it was a crowded world.
Yeah.
And then you actually get on the plane, and only 10% of the world or of North the United States is populated. At all, right?
Yeah.
Nothing is populated. I mean, the vast spaces out there. Like McLuhan said, you could fit the whole world's population into a part of Canada.
Yeah. So we're juggling these terms, automobile, television, airplane, computer.
Refer to environments.
Yeah.
Which refer to the side effects of those media.
I'm still, I keep thinking I get it, and then I forget. how the quark tune fits into this mix?
Well, what the chemical body is so tiny, it's like a quantum particle. And then the media is the
well, tiny compared to what? When wasn't it tiny?
Tiny compared to someone.
Oh, it's been tiny compared to nature.
No, tiny compared to someone on television. When Ed Sullivan is being watched by millions of people Sunday night, that's a huge presence.
Mm.
But all the people that are watching it are nowhere compared to his image.
Yeah.
So they've become subatomic masses. Now, what happens is, as we move into the digital era, the larger, older media environments, movies, television, newspapers, books, they become quark particles. They become tiny compared to the speed-up of information transfer that goes on 24/7 in the satellite digital environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a hologram. And so cartoon quark means that a cartoon is a quantum-sized medium compared to all the media that's happening from the 50s, 60s, and the 70s. And so then we get the next category, holeopathic cliche probes. I've spelled this out many times. Holeopathic is a combination of hologram and homeopathy, the shrinking hologram. But hologram is implied by the satellite and laser beam. You're supposed to figure out that the laser beam creates a hologram. So the combination of the satellite and laser beam, even though the laser beam is not projecting out, it's a symbol, a reference to the hologramic effect, which is happening under satellite conditions by 1968. It was being built as an environment from 45 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking, the managing, the technology, the laboratories, the technological breakthroughs from 45 to 60 leads to the laser beam and leads to the satellite, like the V-2 rocket that you sent me. That's the beginning of the building of the satellite.
Well, when I look at this chart, this question keeps arising for me. Like, for instance, we're looking at the Nixon lag level. Are we looking at 1968, or are we looking at 1945 to 1960 when we look at this level?
When we're looking at Nixon in 1968, he represents developments from 45 to 60, which are now, since it's 1968, kind of conscious because they're an old environment.
Mm-hmm.
He has nothing to do with the satellite laser beam environment.
Mm-hmm.
He has a reflection of television environment, television and airplane. So they were once deep, deep ground. Now they're secondary ground. And secondary ground means they're not as deep as satellite and laser beam.
Wait a minute. Satellite and, what did you say, satellite and tele? What did you say, 45 to 60?
I said television was a deep ground, 1900 to 1918.
Yeah.
Now, in 60.
So then why do you call it lockdown solar government if you say that 45 to 60 is television?
No, it's second. Okay, deep ground, primary ground is television, 1900 to 1918. By the time you get to 1968, television is secondary ground. It's visible. People don't see the satellite laser beam, but they begin to see television and airplane, and they talk about it very crudely. And the image of that crude response to seeing the secondary ground of television, an airplane, when television was previously, two phases back, a deep ground, but in the time of Nixon, Nixon's image is the projection of people's understanding of perceiving the television airplane interplay.
Oh, okay.
All right? And so Nixon represents lockdown solar government, which is 45 to 60. But just think of what happens in 1968. Out comes 2001. Now, that was a movie that communicated, you know, solar impulses, leaving the planet, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in at the same time as Nixon comes in. And so 2001 is reflecting what actually went on from 45 to 60, the movie 2001.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's
a deep ground level.
Yeah, metaphorically, I guess. When did we walk on the moon?
1969, on McClellan's birthday.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that 2001 actually preceded that event.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's not amazing because the solar government was becoming kind of visible in 68.
Mm-hmm.
people's consciousness was shifting off the planet, but they'd had Sputnik for 10 years.
And metaphorically shifting off the planet. Like you said, people's consciousness...
Metaphorically? No. Physically. Perceptually. The images in their minds. The images, which are metaphor models, but they're not, I don't know, abstract pictures in a book. They're actual perceptual crowd processes.
Yeah.
So that here's Nixon in 68, and 2001 is coming out that year. And the hidden ground is a satellite and laser beam. But people are only perceiving the lockdown solar government of 45 to 60 in terms of the James Bond movies. There's a battle between one guy and one evil lab. Most of the James Bond movies are about Bond finding out about some guy who's invented a new device and he's pulling off a major heist in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's the dynamic of 45 to 60. And the books and movies start coming out in 63, 64, and that's resonant with this 1968 theme of the activities of the solar government in 45 to 60 start entering popular consciousness after 1960.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the White House is the slow, plodding, human anthropomorphic projection, and the dealing with previous environments, which now have subliminally come into people's consciousness, you have a mafia guy like Nixon saying that he's offering participatory democracy because the television effect demands that by that time, because the television is half part of the people's minds. It's become secondary ground. It's moved up to more conscious level than primary ground two phases back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the airplane, so Nixon represents the jet travel, the effects on industrial environments where they have to bomb Vietnam, supposedly for mineral resources over there, right, to keep the hardware technologies going.
Is that the reason some people think we were there?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole school of thought that we were there for the industries, that we always create a problem in the backyard of the world or some third world country. We're a fourth world country because we need the resources. So we set up an ideological front, the causes, the HE in quote causes, that gets everybody revved up to support the war for ideological, usually book-oriented, literary categories, as cover for actual raw resources acquisition.
It's hard to believe there are human beings consciously participating in a bloodbath of that size in order to prop up industry.
Remember, you're a literate, detached, point of view kind of person over the last 300-400 years. You're managing and think and conditioned to think that you're responsible for our nation. And you got to make sure that nation is still fed.
Yeah.
And so you'll do anything to preserve the wealth of that culture, and you have the right to. It's called national security.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say that's tribalism, racism, and all those things. But the technology forces people to do it, or at least a good majority of the people, to live in the rules and laws of that situation that the new technology mandates.
Yeah.
So it's like to have cell phones, we got to have these colonies in Africa. So we're, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, this chart is not trying to complexify. No, I will say it that way, because it is trying to show the complexity, but it's presenting it in a very simple way so you can get a handle on the complexities.
Yeah, it's just not a way that people are accustomed to thinking, so it takes a while. Communication of the new is a miracle, but not impossible.
Yeah, and it's really not the new. It's what's been happening, but it is new for people. And it's not even thinking. You're trying to make them see it, perceive it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no particular concept that's being advocated here. There's no, quote, cause. We're trying to show, get you to think about, you have a cell phone. What is that built on? Where did it come from? And what are its effects on all these previous media outlaid in the chart in retrospect?
Yeah.
And since that is the medium.
Yeah.
So when this chart came out in 95, it's showing people the media. medium, which is all the past buildup of technologies, that the new cell phone was affecting.
Yeah. You didn't include the Internet on here, though, and by the 95, the Internet was...
The tiny note is the picture of the Internet, the other chart. And you get into that, when you get to homeopathic cliche probes and anthropomorphic physical, the next two horizontal columns, that is the Internet. Because by 1960, we've extended the planet with the satellite, and the laser beam creates the hologram. That's the end point. What happens after that? The shrinking of the hologram, and the shrinking of the hologram is this digital era, and that's creating the Internet, or the Android meme. And so the Android meme enhances the AP over a 30-year period, the anthropomorphic physical. It, because it shrinks media into tiny, holeopathic, cliche probes, then the AP seems gradually bigger and bigger than media landscapes. That is the effect summarized in the word Internet. So horizontal columns, holeopathic cliche probes, and anthropomorphic physical, I lift that out of the Bob Dobbs-Form chart and manifest it as the tiny note chart.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tiny note chart is the Internet in detail.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the last column, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the ninth horizontal plane there is a blank line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flat line.
Yeah.
And the
does that represent the disappearance?
That represents cold fusion, the merging of first and second nature, the breakthrough into a whole new situation. That's why I put me as politician 2012 to jokingly refer to the singularity is supposed to happen at the end of the Mayan calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got those little intimations in there. But look at what am I juggling if I'm the president at that time in 4 years, 4 or 5 years? I'm juggling holeopathic cliche probes, which is increasingly small technologies like the iPhone, against the older clunky environment of the satellite and laser beam.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already been acting that out for 20 years by saying that I represent the Secret Council 10 of the solar government. Solar government is the satellite laser beam phase.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And you read my memo to Prince Charles written in 87. I discuss the mythic stages and the battle between them. I predict the culture wars and the shrinking of that situation and the solipsism and narcissism that takes over with the... Matrix-like technologies of cell phone and the Internet. That's what I'm battling as Secret Council 10. I'm battling the effects of the shrinking of the situation. That's why I had to say we must disband the solar government in the late 80s to deal with the holeopathic cultural enemy. So you see the interplay represented by me and what I've said in my presidential campaign, been going on for 20 years, and all that is representing lockdown Bob Rule. Now, note, here's where we do have a shift. Nixon, 1968, he represents a previous era, 45 to 60. Reagan, in 1980, in the holeopathic cliche probe as deep ground, represents 60 to 77, but he's only 3 years from 77. Whereas Nixon is 8 years from 1960, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy is 15 years from 45. Roosevelt is 14 years from 1918. So when you get to 1977 to 1992, Perot has caught up.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
1992, he represents the actual present because it's 77 to 92.
Yeah.
Then I represent a further, avant-garde movement. In the sense, I'm 2012. I'm in the middle of the phase represented, 1990 to 2020. I'm not behind. I'm not 2030 or 2040 or 2025. I'm not 2020 as Perot is 1992 for the 1992, 77-92 phase. I'm right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've caught up. The human lag, the image for the cultural mask in White House is getting more in tune with the present, faster.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Now, no one's ever commented on that, but that's what that means.
Right. And Perot represents that, but he's the guy who didn't make it.
Yes, but you know what Perot represents? He represents the third factor in every election. What is shown in the tiny note chart is the Rumpelstiltskin factor. Because technology and media landscapes are getting smaller and smaller, Perot represents the hijacking of media environments, including election, and disrupting the simple dialectic between the Republicans and the Democrats. Perot becomes a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ralph Nader becomes a factor, replaying the what I call the Perot syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But Perot was the first most powerful third party in a long time. I think Teddy Roosevelt got in or had a third party at the beginning of the 20th century, but we haven't had many of that, right?
Right.
But basically, since World War II, there hasn't been any. But Perot became a factor.
Right.
And probably helped Clinton get in. And then every election since then has had some third guy, and that's always the issue. Right now they're worried about either Ron Paul being an independent party candidate or Bloomberg. It's always part of the thinking now.
But nobody's too worried about those two guys, but, yeah, they're there, and they're there, you know.
Well, they weren't worried about Perot
at
the time he was running. They didn't know he'd have that impact.
Right now, for some,
Nader.
For some reason.
Do you realize that Nader was blamed for Bush getting in 2000?
Yeah.
He was a big factor, at least publicly perceived.
Yeah. Took votes away from.
Yeah, so the simple dialectic in this cumbersome political industrial process of elections for a museum image in the White House, it is not so simple anymore. It's another institution that's been fragmented and decentralized by the digital effect, and therefore it's symbolized by the Perot factor.
Mm.
So that's what that means. Like, it's not. You have to think about, why is Perot in there? He didn't win. But Perot was the main phenomenon. I mean, he ran again in 96.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you got any comments on why Huckabee's still hanging in there?
The decentralist effect. You can't resolve any of these issues. There probably won't even be an election. There's other issues going on. And they'll have to make another program decision. They'll have to rig the votes and bring in who's already selected.
Yeah.
Could be Huckabee. Huckabee could be selected, or maybe
I don't think so. It's got to be someone who would be plausible. And at this point, it's probably Hillary.
Right. That's the image resonant with this point. All right. She's got that advantage. But the programming of an image, in terms of what the advertisers and the Nielsen ratings, they study the effects in the audience to determine what image is necessary and then put it out. That's what they did with Nixon 68. It was called the selling of the president, an image that was based on what the pollsters found out the public were looking for. So that is 40 years ago. We're now in a situation where the industrial media and the TV landscape, that's what the president represents, the TV landscape, the managing of that is not so cut and dry because the world is so the American situation is so fragmented and digitized with a million Rumpelstiltskins out there on YouTube that even the fact that Hillary is resonant with the TV image from the sequences of images from Eisenhower to now. Remember Bush, he was resonant with the post-information situation, right? The president didn't have anything to say in a world where nobody was listening. So, because they're getting involved in user-generated media, Hillary seems to be, for television, the next phase. But television is a weakened environment. The chip body is a big factor. The most excitement is generated by Ron Paul. And he's not even allowed to appear on the TV landscape.
Well, yeah, he's exciting to the younger generation that realizes that we're so...
who don't believe in the TV landscape. That's why they don't like Hillary.
She's
too obviously programmed, which, in other words, the image, where this is another proof of the post-information environment. An information environment is a programmed image environment based on polls. We can't even get an image, poll people, determine what it is they want, and then market that and succeed with it, because it's way beyond the TV marketing. We're in the nowhere zone. And so the information environment is so fragmented that that's the chip landscape, and nobody can monitor that.
The recent bit of trivia that I think kind of illustrates that is There was this couple of women who were campaigning on the internet for Obama. You heard about the Obama girl?
No.
She danced and did this sexy little thing about how she loved Obama and put her own little YouTube thing. And
was that about 6 months ago?
It was a couple months ago. And she picked up so much momentum that it started getting a lot of airplay on TV. Oh, Obama girl is, you know, isn't she sexy and cute, and she's promoting Obama, and this is the new way of promoting your, getting out there and promoting, working hard for your candidate.
And yeah, so, by getting on YouTube and creating your own little chip.
Right, and doing something seductive that and sexy that'll, you know, pull in votes from the your peers and like that. And then the big thing in the last couple of days, they've been going, they checked up on her after the primaries went through her state, and she didn't vote.
See, now that's really good. That's the chip body, which is the dominant environment right now, playing with the old TV landscape. And not even involved in it and believing in it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? That's a good example of how the average mindset is programmed by the newer media, lives in the fascination and what one can do with that media, is not interested in the older landscapes.
Yeah.
Can like a Rumpelstiltskin, play with, pollute the older landscapes.
Yeah.
So that's we're gradually moving into the meaning of the tiny note chart. I'm thinking that maybe we finished with this one. There is another aspect. The merging of...
Well, we totally skipped over what you mean by the anthropomorphic physical on that whole level.
Right,
I mean,
right.
We talked about Perot.
Well, I'm saying we're heading towards the ending here. And one theme I haven't really developed is how the line at the bottom, which represents cold fusion, I've said in Up the Orphic Ante, represents the merging of first and second nature. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We finally made a technology called fusion that has some of the amazing characteristics of first nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's quote, immortal. Doesn't wind down. So this chart is showing the merging of first and second nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's the punchline on the bottom column. And so that is an important thing to understand before we get into the tiny note chart. Now, the anthropomorphic physical is the first nature apparatus. Whatever it is, we call it our bodies, and it seems obvious to us we have a body, that we've been extending for thousands of years and creating second nature, which is technology. As the media shrinks over the last 10 years, it becomes smaller than the physical body we extended, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the physical body begins to think it's bigger than the media environment. And actually starts navel-gazing about what the heck is first nature, the body that we extended from. And when you develop cold fusion where the first and second nature are merged, then what is our body? Because we've used technologies to extend and create second nature, but technology is moving towards becoming like first nature. So where is the original extended body in that situation, since we assume our body that we extended is first nature?
Mm-hmm.
So our sense of what we are in relation to our environments, whatever we project and create and invent, is an ongoing anthropomorphic physical syndrome. It's the way humans feel about what they are as opposed to other things around them.
Mm-hmm.
They feel different or unique. They feel human, whatever that is. So the anthropomorphic physical means that as the holopathic cliche probes, and holopathic cliche probe means a replay of all the previous technologies in smaller and smaller elements, so that the iPhone improves on the Palm Pilot, and the BlackBerry, I guess, came after the Palm Pilot before the iPhone, and the Palm Pilot improved on the cell phone. The cell phone improved on the old home phone.
Right.
So we keep replaying television in these older major media that were original extensions and shrinking them and making them more handy and mutable.
Yeah. Now you can play television on your
iPhone. I think you can play it on your iPod. Probably you can play it on your iPhone.
Oh yeah, you get YouTube on the iPhone. But so the thing is, you're looking at television in a new situation. So you're taking the cliche image and experience of television and probing it by putting it into new context, which is a little thing in your palm.
What do you mean probing it?
You're putting it, using it in a new context.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching TV in the airport.
Yeah.
On my little phone, or I'm watching it out in the desert.
Right.
So
it becomes a probe in the sense that you can use it to probe other media. I mean,
a probe
is something that a thing is a probe because you use it to poke at something else.
That's right. And you do it by being put into another context. So the same electronic, you remember Derek DeKirchhoff saying in the McLuhan Way thing, electricity is the ground and the internet is a surface phenomena. That's half true. It's still within the electric environment. But these surface manifestations alter so much that you can't just say they're surface. They alter the relationships to older media.
Mm-hmm.
So the cliche probe, you probe the previous, like YouTube, like that Obama woman, she probed the TV landscape with her YouTube abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet she's probing a cliche environment, television and elections. And she's probing it, and it's cliche retrieved with archetypal intensity, which we developed when we were covering the McLuhan part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking an old environment and making a big deal. That's why in more and more news items focus on one person and their crack-up or their bizarre behavior or their eccentric presentation of themselves or their astounding presentation. More and more it focuses on one person, Paris Hilton, this Obama woman, or Britney Spears. It makes a big issue for a long time out of this cliche probe of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another aspect of the shrinking of the media and focusing on some one celebrity.
Right.
Exaggerating their impact to archetypal intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So now I was saying that, so that's the anthropomorphic physical. And so the rearview mirror environments that act out the Shemshon twin battle are older, bigger landscapes, satellite and laser beam versus computer and atom bomb. Now, Perot, he was, if you remember, he had a paranoid image. Mm-hmm. He actually was worried about things going on in the Middle East, and this is right after the first Iraq invasion, the Iraq war against Saddam. He actually brought in a very paranoid nationalist scenario, and he was a cold warrior, and he'd actually been involved in POW probes, you know, trying to discover POWs, prisoners of war, around the world, and he made a lot of money doing computerized data programs for, I think, government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out of the computer environment himself. That's how he made his billions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a nationalist, and he's trying to get people to balance the economy. He thinks the national economy is an entity that's bankrupt and needs to be re-propped up, and he doesn't know it's a tactile, digital, non-national economy. So he represents the computer and the atom bomb thinking against the globalized effect of satellite and laser beam. Laser beam representing the hologram effect, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So the hologram, the global hologram, which is shrinking, Perot represents a paranoid patriot in relation to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's almost like being a human being. The anthropomorphic has reached the point of just one person being paranoid. That's a charismatic image.
Mm-hmm.
Because the chemical body is so obsolete. So the ground of that is the AP. The disappearance of media.
Right. And that's the first place where you even intimate the chemical body is in the air, is that the anthropomorphic physical, the chemical body is not even referenced anywhere else in this. Well, I guess the whole ISI phase represents the image, but it doesn't represent the chemical body as a ground. The fact that, you know, that we're made of blood and tissue and hormones and that we walk on solid earth. None of that's really referenced in here.
Chemicals, the word is in the tiny note chart, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Now, you're thinking that the chemical body, and it's good you say this, it's totally erroneous in terms of what I've been saying, but it's good you say this because that gives me room to clarify this. Remember, the chemical body is not the AP. It is the Western second nature model of the AP. The AP is basically a mystery. What is it? What is the human made up of? And, you know, and different cultures have different models of what the human is made up of. So that the physical body, remember, ancient cultures didn't have a sense of the physical body.
Right.
They thought they were nature, what we would call nature. They thought they were animals or whales. I don't know what they thought they were, but they certainly, they didn't even know they had skin, or they didn't model that they had skin until the Greeks came along in 500 B.C.,
mm-hmm.
First time the image of the body was put inside a skin envelope.
Right.
So the imaging that's going on about what we are is the anthropomorphic physical. The human imaging itself in relation to some other environment.
Mm-hmm.
That, like the you know, the Native Americans, what did they believe? There was a turtle holding up the world. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, there's an image. Not that it's wrong, but their culture evoked that sense of an image of themselves. It's an image of the environment they, as humans, or whatever they thought they were, inside this environment, represented by the turtle.
Yeah. But what's more fundamental is two arms, two eyes, two legs. And when an Indian is in hand-to-hand combat with a European soldier, none of those concepts matter because you got two physical creatures who are just... aware of themselves is
yeah, but they represent their media. The Indian is saving the buffalo, and the European is killing the buffalo.
Right.
With his new media, which are his body parts, the rifle.
Yeah, and justifying it in the name of Jesus and civilization.
In some cause, yeah, in quote, in cause that someone tells that he's told it to think.
Yeah. Right.
So, and those causes are technologically determined. The European who came over was totally conditioned by the printing press. That was the
right.
The landscape. It was probing the effects of a global, the beginning of a shrunken globe.
Right.
And the ability to communicate.
And he thought he was civilized and superior to the
pre-literate
pagan. And then the radio comes in and flips that.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And, okay, so we're talking about the anthropomorphic physical is the ongoing mystery of what humans think they are, how they make images of themselves, and why those images change over time.
Yeah, but so it's the thing that says I am, or I think, therefore I am, or I am that I am.
I breathe. I respect my ancestors, therefore I am.
Yeah.
You know, that's the more older cultures.
But it's the self-reflecting creature. It's the entity
right.
That's wondering who it is, what it is.
That's our term, self-reflecting. That has a context for the last 500 years, but use that word self-reflecting 1,000, 10,000 years ago, no one knows what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, self-referential, even 10,000 years ago, even 100,000 years, every animal is self-referential. It's aware of itself.
Yes, but it doesn't manipulate its memories and will like a human being.
Yeah.
It doesn't change its environment. The ability to make second nature is the human distinction. And, you know, you might find a few insects that make a nest or something, but they can't travel all over the world and take suitcases with them.
Right.
Everything that humans do. It's obviously we are creating something, and we don't have to go on a big ego trip about it and say that, you know, we can kill all animals because we're better than them and we can replace them with clones. But we're always working out that question, that relationship. With our environment, how much do we respect the external thing that we don't think we are, right?
I remember scientists saw whales getting together in the ocean at night near the surface, creating a star formation, and he hypothesized that they were doing some kind of a mind link up where they were having,
you know, extraterrestrial communication. So that would be a form of TV that would be pretty radical, but it doesn't involve external technology. It involves using your own neural network in a unique way.
Yeah, you could say that nature's pretty good on inner technologies, which we're moving towards. We're cloning ESP.
Yeah.
Now we have voluntary ESP, so you could say we're actually going to be like the whales, but we're going to be more comprehensive than the whale. We might be able to project thoughts, but we also can move around the planet. But then someone will say, well, the whale doesn't need to go to the moon. He's already there. But see, the whale is limited. He can only go to the moon that way. We can go in a can, as well as, in the future, ESP the moon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get more flexibility, more options.
Right.
More ways of screwing up our relationship to the environment.
Right.
More probes.
Yeah.
So the AP means, it's like saying being human. Or why do we think we're human?
Mm-hmm.
That's the ongoing drama. And so we are confronting that more and more as our technologies, all the things we created, become more and more like first nature. And that could be another aspect. The electronic ESP part of our technology, which we externalize, is becoming like the whales who are part of first nature. We're merging with first nature,
mm-hmm.
all right, with our technologies. So therefore, we're being forced to confront the first nature we came from or thought we came from.
Mm-hmm.
Or that we thought we were escaping with technological evolution.
And then you have the yogis who see that it's all Maya and say that the whole first nature is all a big illusion anyway.
Yeah, they emphasize the astral body, which is a big meme that's been in most cultures as what we're made up of. Humans think I'm here, but I can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And another level that I'll get to when I die, or if I'm smart enough, maybe I can get there before I die. You know what I mean?
Right.
Meditation or something, or through drugs. That's the exploring of what we are is what I juggle now. We now know we have a TV landscape, we have a chip landscape, which are shrinking, therefore becoming bodies and organs, TV body and chip organ. But we also have the astral part of ourselves and the what I call physical.
Right.
In other words, the thing with the arms and legs that walks around, and if it didn't have a telephone, would be limited to that range of speech communication or writing letters.
I think the yogi that sees all as Maya, even the astral plane, all phenomena is illusion.
Right, right.
So that would include astral planes and heavens and everything.
That's
everything,
right.
Every projection you could possibly imagine.
That's right, and that's called monism, and that's in the LaRouche quadrant of the tiny note chart, the monad. The idea that the monad is all you are, I am that I am, and even that's questionable.
Right.
Even that ain't real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one way of thought understanding itself.
We're sort of used up our time for today. Last thing I want to point out about the chart, I'm wondering if this is a typing error on my chart under ALP 1/2 stage, bottom up ground. It says effects proceeding causes, PROCEDING. And I always thought it was preceding causes, PREC.
It's so P-R-E. There's you have PRO?
Yeah, there's a typing error on mine.
Did you type that?
No, I printed this off of someplace. It's a chart.
Mark Free's chart maybe is misspelled wrong, eh? I never noticed that.
I guess. But then mine has manufacturer spelled right, and yours has it spelled wrong. So I guess there's different charts around.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have manufacturers. You have an R-E-R-S or something.
I have a U-R-E-R-S.
Yeah, I don't have that, and that's not what it should be, and that's another misspelling that probably Mark did.
Oh, okay.
Because he created the only copy we have, the only internet image we have of the chart.
Right.
On positone.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, he did that like 10, 11 years ago.
So next week, I guess we'll see if there's anything else we need to say to wrap up this chart, and then we'll be moving on to the tiny note.
Yeah, we'll maybe scan the whole chart. This chart and review it and show the interplay and talk about it for a while and get a perfection, improve our way of talking about it, and
right.
then move towards the tiny note. because I've said that the tiny node consists of levels 7 and 8 and 9, the flat zone. That's in the tiny node chart. At the bottom, it says, waiting for organic bodies, the spinning clothing crystals have danced the hex advertisement. That means an ad, the hex attic, which is off the chart, off both charts, it's an ad for this flat zone indicated by the flat line on level 9 on the chart we're doing now.
Well, the tiny node chart is 60 to 90, isn't it?
Yes.
See, this goes 90 to 220, so this even goes beyond the... This envelops the tiny note chart.
Well, the tiny note chart is an after image of the 60-90 period. The 90 to 2020 period is indicated by the Dobbs quadrant and the hex attic, which is off the chart.
Right.
So, yes, level 9 on the formula chart is not even chartized. It's implied by the statement, waiting for organic bodies, the spinning clothing crystals have danced the hex advertisement. This is an ad. The tiny note chart is an ad for the me in 2012 level.
Yeah.
The campaign poster.
All right.
And since since that is being built from 90 to 2020, the tiny note chart is an after image of 60 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from, I'll call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, level 6 satellite and laser beam, to level 8, anthropomorphic physical.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's end on that.
Okay, very good. Signing off for now.